Jesus lives today. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Yes, stand with me this morning. Let's sing this good old song, At Calvary. Number 139 in your hymnal if you need it. Number 139.
Was free. Pardon, there was no.
pastor this morning.
Well, it is good to see you back this morning. We're glad to have you, those in Sunday school. Yesterday had a really good day. We appreciate those that set up the backpack giveaway and those that worked. And we really had a good day. Had a lot of people come through, a lot of contacts. So let's just pray that what they read and they got a track, they got information that'll help them. But we appreciate those that worked hard yesterday for that. That's our word of prayer, and ask the Lord to bless the service today. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all that's here today. Pray that you touch hearts. Lord, if there's one lost and not saved, especially you touch their heart. We pray you bless our people for their faithfulness and for their hard work yesterday. We just pray that you bless those that came through and touch their hearts. Just use the music today and the message to help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Not by my works. Praise God. By his blood I'm saved.
Amen. Amen.
We'll sing that this morning.
By his blood I'm saved.
Thank you.
just let me touch him. Aren't you glad he's waiting for us
this morning?
I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Here you are, Donnie. We're going to sing this morning. Let's sing this little song.
If it's not written there this morning, you're here in church, you're in the right spot. We serve a risen Savior, and I'm glad He's alive, because I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Stand with me this morning. Let's sing this good old hymn, I Know My Name Is There. Around, shake hands, tell everybody you're glad to see him in the Lord's house this morning. others climb through worldly strife. Sing that last verse with me. While others climb to name of honor high up in heaven's book, my name is written there. I know, amen. Chorus again. Raise your hand when you say, I know, I know, I know. My name is there. I know, I know. My name is written there.
Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the offering. Appreciate your giving. Pray for our missionaries. It reminds us when we give to give them. So let's pray for them. Brother Tim, would you ask the blessing?
Again today, Lord, we do thank you for a time that we can come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for a time that we can come and we can give that would honor and glorify you. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts that are given, that they'll go around the world. Lord, we pray that you use them, multiply them, and ask that you bring many to your saving grace.
Yes.
We love you for these things. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
How do you follow that? Oh, well.
You're breaking.
My view of this journey is one of despair. This morning is laden with prayer. Then God's word speaks sweetly of a holy white city. From that point I look just as
Your mind on the present and what's going on now in our lives and the discouragement and the sorrow and the suffering and the sin of this world. But you know what? We got to look ahead, Christians, because it's not going to be very long. We're going home. This world is not our home. Hallelujah. It's not our home. We're going home. It's not going to be long. Press on.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious. By leaning on his bosom, so for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore? About God's Son.
left notes in the music to tell the story of all our Savior.
Lady here asked me when she come down from the choir, her nephew is in Florida, he's dying and he may be lost, and that's what burden on her heart is. Y'all pray for him while she's praying.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious. Tell the story.
Amen.
You can rely on him.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get us through.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord knows our needs. He's Matthew 9, when he saw the diseases and the sickness of the people in their lost condition, he had compassion on them as sheep that had no shepherd. We have a shepherd, and he cares about every need. And there's a lot of needs, of course, in our congregation. Some sickness, some going through death in the family. Personal problems, but God cares about every one of them. And if you're lost, he especially cares about your condition. Especially. That's why he came. Amen. Appreciate your obeying the Spirit this morning. Let's turn to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. We used this last week. We used the first from verse 35 through about verse 42. Talking about we need to win the type of people. We need to witness to our friends and our family and our coworkers. And I hope throughout the week you remembered that. We all have people with our families. We all work with folks. We all go to school with people. We need to be witnessing to them. So let's stand together. I want to read from verse 43. And we'll preach about winning souls this morning. We need to be concerned about those people. And there's a lot of people who need, a lot of people need a Savior. We'll talk about winning souls. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael come and said, coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your moving already, the Holy Spirit, in this worship. And I pray as we preach through this message, God, that you would help us to see the need of those around us. And I pray if there's one lost and never been saved, accepted Christ, God, that they would be today. Use us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In this scripture, we see a man who got saved, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But talk about winning souls. We need those people that we need to be conscious around us. We need to start talking to them and try to witness to them. And when we look at this scripture and as we preach today, what kind of sinners do we need to look for? When you go fishing, some people fish. We're supposed to be fishers of men. That's what he called the disciples to do. Some people go fishing, they specialize. Some of them like to bass fish. But some of them like me, you just throw the bait out there and whatever bites, that's what you catch. And that's kind of the way we need to do. We just need to throw the bait out. There's all kinds of sinners. We'll see in this situation today, there's moral sinners, there's immoral sinners. They come from different walks of life, but they all need a Savior. They all need a Savior. So we just need to start casting bait and be more conscious of it. And I know a lot of you give out tracts and you are conscious of it and just keep doing that and get more conscious about the people around us. But we're going to look at three men today and see they cover the spectrum of life as far as sinners and a Savior who saved them. And all these three men are related to a tree because Jesus finally went to the tree to save these sinners. Now, this one we look at, first of all, he was an honest man under a tree, an honest man under a tree. His name was Nathanael. Nathanael, his name means gift of God. That man had no idea what day he was going to get the day that he met Christ. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal Christ through eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Nathanael's name means gift of God, and he was about to receive it. I think most of us, when we got saved, had no idea we were going to get saved that day. Lord spoke to our heart, and to get saved, and you say, what is saved? And there's two, to be saved, and I thought about this in one of the songs that Brother Bill's leading. To be saved means you're saved from the penalty of sin, and you're saved from the power of sin. I mean, lost people, if we don't accept Christ, no matter whether we're good, bad, or whatever, we're going to hell. And there's a penalty to sin, but there's also a power of sin over our life. And the only way to break it is to get saved and let the Holy Spirit live within us and break the power of sin. So he wants to save us. And Nathanael, when you get saved, you just know you need to be saved. You might not realize all that you're getting, but you can get eternal life. And Nathanael was about to get a gift from God. But also we see that Philip witnessed to him about Jesus. Verse 43, first of all, Jesus found Philip the day following. Now, this is after that Andrew had went and got his brother Peter and introduced him to the Lord, and they had accepted the Lord. And then in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee and findeth. Now, Galilee refers to that area around the Sea of Galilee, the northern part of Israel, findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. So the Lord found Philip and had that simple invitation that he gave to James and John and those that were by the Sea of Galilee when he called them. He just went by. We saw where he did it to Matthew or Levi. Follow me. Follow me. So Philip followed him, and Philip did what was natural to a believer. He started wanting somebody else to follow Jesus. That's what happened when Andrew was introduced to him. He went and found his own brother. Now we find that Philip went and finds his friend, and he witnesses to him. He witnessed to him. But in verse 45, it says that Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So he starts witnessing to him and said, we found him. We found him. Now, he said, we found him that Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Now, how long had they been looking for Messiah? I mean, for hundreds and hundreds of years, they had been looking and waiting, and the law and the prophets witnessed about him. When it says Moses and the prophets, Moses means the first five books of the Bible. It's called the Pentateuch, which means five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All those scriptures, and you go through the law and the temple and all the sacrifices, they were pointing toward a Savior. And all the prophets talked about a Savior or the Messiah that was coming. In Luke 24, when Jesus was talking to those two on the Emmaus Road after he rose from the dead, he didn't let them know who he was. They just talked and let them talk and said, we thought he was the Messiah. Now he's been crucified. And then he said he opened the books. He said he started talking to them from the beginning at Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and he went through the prophets and talked to him about himself and expounded to him about himself. They prophesied of the Messiah. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Moses says, there will come a prophet one day, capital P, likened to me among you, and him you'll believe. So Moses talked about him coming for some hundreds of years. He had been prophesied, and Philip told Nathanael, we have found him. Now, what he says about him, he says that he is he's the one Moses wrote about in verse 45, and he said he's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, Nazareth was a city in northern Israel, out from the Sea of Galilee, and that Jesus was brought up there. You know, he's born in Bethlehem. They went to Egypt. When they come back, they went to Nazareth because it was a fulfillment of prophecy, and that was where he was raised. He said he's Jesus of Nazareth, and he said he's the son of Joseph. Now, Philip was like me. He's a little slow to catch on a lot of times. He said he's the son of Joseph. Now, that's who he, legally speaking, he was his stepfather, but God was his father. But, later on, even in John 14, when Jesus was talking about he and the Father, Philip said, show us the Father, and it suffices us. He said, Philip, have I been so long with you? And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Does it help us to know that they were a little thick-headed and slow to catch on to? Does it help you? It helps me. But Philip might have been, Nathanael had a little more understanding than Philip because he called him the Son of God. But anyway, he's trying to introduce him to him, and he says, we found him, who the law and the prophets, or Moses and the prophets, talked about. And then we see, first of all, Nathanael's doubt in verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, Nathanael was from Cana, and that went about 5 miles down the road from Nazareth. I don't know what he had heard or seen about Jesus, but he didn't have a high opinion of anybody that come out of Nazareth. I hope I'm not misstating this or saying anything wrong. I've heard the same thing about Sidy Daisy that used to have that reputation. Is that right? And now it's a great town and everything. Everybody knows how great it is now, but I've heard people tell me they used to look down on Sidy, but they looked down on Nazareth. Nazareth was kind of a despised town. It had a lot of association with the Gentiles, and that was a problem. And so anyway, this was his opinion. His opinion wasn't a whole lot of different from what the Pharisees' opinion was. In John chapter 7, when Jesus had been doing these miracles, in verse 40, it said, many of the people, therefore, when they had heard this saying, say of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Now, that's the northern district. There's Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. And so it's the northern district where Nazareth was located. Can any prophet come out of there? The Pharisees said in verse 52, after Nicodemus was trying to defend Jesus, they answered and said unto him, art thou also a Galilee? Search and look, out of Galilee arise no prophet. Well, actually, there was one. I believe it was Nahum, but they said no prophet ever come out of that place. So there was a low opinion of Nazareth of Galilee, and that's kind of how Nathanael thought about it. And so, but Philip said, well, come and see. Come and see. And Nathanael was willing to come and see. I'm going to give this a shot. So anyway, we find that Jesus found Nathanael. Now, Jesus said in verse number 47, when Nathanael was coming, he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus had already found him. Before he ever came to him, he knew where he was. He knew where he was sitting under a tree. And when Nathanael approached him, he said, this is an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile. Guile means there was no deceit. There was no, he was an honest man. This was a good and honest man, but he needed to be saved. And you know, one thing that impressed him was Jesus already knew all about him, knew where he was, knew what kind of man he was. Jesus was what we call omniscient. That means all knowing. And so when he told Nathanael what he thought about him and Nathanael his character and where he was, he said, I saw you under the tree. And that was before they'd ever approached him. Well, that impressed him, and he made a profession in verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now, Philip said we found him, and he had his doubts about him, so he said he would come and see and check this out, and he left a saved man. He said, Rabbi, that's calling him Master, Son of God, that's calling him Deity, and King of Israel, that's calling him Messiah. Man, he got him. He just like that, he was saved. Now I look at Nathaniel, and again, he was a good and honest man. Do you ever know some good people and honest people that are lost? Those kind of people sometimes are the hardest people to win. They're good people. They're good men. They're honest men. And they don't see their need of a Savior. I remember in Alpharetta, Georgia, I remember standing on the porch of this guy. We were out visiting on visitation. And asked him if he'd ever been saved. He said, I pay my bills. And he said, I take care of my family. And I work hard. And I make a living for them. And he talked about all the things. And he was right. He was a good man. But he couldn't see his core problem. The problem is we're sinners by nature. We're born into sin because of Adam. And we've got that nature, and we're sinners. And it doesn't matter how good we are. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags. But it's hard sometimes to convince a good man that has lived good all his life that he needs a Savior, but they still need a Savior. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't need to measure ourselves by other men. I mean, sometimes you can look at somebody else and say, compared to that guy, I'm a saint. We need to compare ourselves to the holiness of God. Now, in His eyes, in His holiness, we're all sinners, no matter how good we are or how good we try to be. So Nathaniel was found under a tree, and he was a good man. Then we see another one I want to talk about is a crooked businessman up a tree. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Huh? You remember Zacchaeus? Luke chapter 19, we'll read the story. He was a crooked businessman up a tree. It said in verse 1 of chapter 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Press is always keeping people from Jesus. Now, I know this was a crowd, but the press today is doing their best. He said, could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw him, they all murmured and said that he was going to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, of half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we look at Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus' name means justified. Now that's a strange term for a man who is unjust and he's dishonest, but he was going to become just in God's sight. Just as if he had never sinned. So we look at his character. He was a crook. Now, the Bible said he was chief among the publicans. Now, the publicans were the tax collectors, and they were thieves. They could take more than what Rome required. All they had to do was please Rome, and they could take in excess of it if they wanted to. Just kind of like like cities, our government, they just take what they want. They take in excess a lot of times. What we see as excess, could you agree with that? But anyway, he was taken in excess. And verse 7 said he was a sinner. Now, I don't know what kind of lifestyle he was involved with, but he was a thief, taking people's money dishonestly, and he was a sinner. But we see Zacchaeus' desire. He heard Jesus was coming through his city called Jericho, and he had heard about Jesus, I'm sure, and he sought to see who he was. So Jesus was passing through, and he was seeking to see Jesus. You know, if a man's looking, he'll find him. He'll find him. Lord, I'll make a way. But the honest truth is, Jesus was seeking him. Verse 10 says, he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Don't you know, as sure as he knew Nathaniel was under the tree, he knew Zacchaeus was up the tree. I mean, he knew. He knew what he was. He knew his lifestyle. He knew his character. He knew where he was. but he was seeking Jesus, but Jesus found him. Verse 5, Jesus came to that tree. A rich man climbed a tree. I mean, a rich man humbled himself to climb a tree. I want to see this man. Now, why did he climb a tree? He was a little statue. Now, you remember the kids are upstairs, but remember the song in Bible school? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Must have been wrote by an Irishman. Wee. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Savior he wanted to see. And when Jesus come passing by, Jesus looked up in that tree and said, Zacchaeus, what did he say? You come down. I'm going to your house today. That's amazing. You remember when you get my age. Anyway, that's a song we used to sing. But he climbed a tree. But Jesus knew who he was. When he come by, he looked up there and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home with you. And Zacchaeus, the Bible said he climbed down, verse 6, and received him joyfully. I mean, of all the people in the city. And he knows what he was. Everybody else did, because they said, that man's a sinner. Jesus didn't care if he was a sinner. That's who he's looking for. But he come down joyfully. You remember in Acts chapter 8 when Philip, the deacon, went up and started preaching Jesus in the city of Samaria, and people started getting saved, and there was great joy in that city. That's what happens when people get saved. So he received Jesus joyfully into his home, but he also received him into his heart. He received him into his heart. John 1:12 says, as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If we'll just receive him into our heart, he'll make us his sons. Well, the proof is that he received him in his heart is in verse number 8, Zacchaeus stood. I like that because he was doing it out of respect. You know, people don't, you know, young folks understand when they speak to an elder. You're out of respect. Now, out of respect to who he was, he stood. He was showing Jesus respect, and he called him Lord. He said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. You know, that's kind of like when Saul got saved on the Damascus Road. Man, he was fighting Jesus every way he could. And that day on the Damascus Road, he saw him. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I mean, his opinion changed. He calls him Lord. That means he's given over to him as his master. And he said, and half of my goods I'll give to the poor. I'm going to give half. He was rich. I'm going to give half of it away. You know God got him. Now, I don't preach on tithing much because I know if God gets your heart, the money's going to follow. I don't preach on tithing very often. People love the Lord. They give. Amen. Our folks give. And he wanted to give and help somebody else because what God done for him. And then he said, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. He said, if I have. It wasn't if. It was. It was definite. He knew what he'd done. And he said, if I have, I'll repay him fourfold, four times. See, he was now willing to obey the law. The law required, I think, Exodus 22:1, if a man took a man's lamb, he's to give back fourfold. You know, when David was confronted about his sin, he was told the story about a rich man who took a poor man's lamb. He said, he will restore fourfold. Nicodemus, nobody had to tell Nicodemus this. I mean, his heart changed. He knew what to do. He said, I'll restore him fourfold. And so we find that Zacchaeus got saved and a crook become justified. I mean, I don't care how crooked he was. Now that he was a saved man, he was clear in God's sight before God. So Zacchaeus, to me, represents a lot of business people that are crooks. You know any? They're crooks. I mean, they're businessmen and they only care about themselves and making more no matter how they have to get it. I've seen them. I have some in my family. You know, I'm telling you, I've seen them pay off politicians. I've seen them pay off city officials to get what they need. I've seen them steal. Not personally. I work with a milk company and I was a milk route salesman, which means milkman. And you delivered milk to the stores, you know, and it was a guaranteed sales item, which means if it ran out of date, you had to replace it free. You had to replace it. And some milkmen would take the old milk out but not take any for it. They'd write it up as a new sale. They were stealing from their customers. I had a guy when I took the job, he told me, he said, you can't live. He knew I was a preacher. He said, in Christian, he said, you can't live right and work for the milk company. They expect you to lie and steal. I said, the day I cannot do it and live right, I will quit. And I worked there for 3 years. I never stole anything, never robbed any of my customers, and I was never asked to do that. Never asked to do it, but it happens. It happens. And I've known contractors that charge off things for their personal property to the job that they're on. I mean, they're crooks, but they still need to be saved. They can be saved. Zacchaeus was a crook, and he became an honest man and a benevolent man. Listen, you may have a low opinion of somebody you know is a crook. Witness to him. He just needs a Savior is what he needs. But he was up a tree. I've been up a tree a time or two. You know, that's when you're in trouble. But anyway, then not only that, the last man is a criminal on a tree. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus was being crucified. And in verse 32 and 33 of Luke 23, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Now, this guy, we don't know his name. It doesn't tell us who he is, but there's a lot of people, there's billions of people in this world. Their name may not be significant to anybody else, but it is to God. Just because this man was a thief, and society probably done away, didn't care about him, God did. But anyway, this man, his character is that he's a malefactor, which means he was an evildoer. He was a criminal. Matthew said he was a thief, and he had done something. He had committed a capital offense because he was being crucified and put to death for what he had done. That's pretty bad. But Jesus found him on that tree. He was being, what a, you know, if you're going to get crucified, at least get crucified next to Jesus. It gives you a chance. Now, we know there was two, one on each side, and one of them was a self-centered thief and only cared for himself and cared nothing about spiritual things. But this one thief, there was something different about him. First of all, he feared God. In verse 40 of Luke 23, verse 39, one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, talking about Christ, said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." Only thing he was interested in doing was getting off that cross and living a sorry life. That the other answering rebuked and saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive in due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss." Verse 40 said, "Dost thou not fear God?" Somebody had taught that man something, maybe his mother. But he had a fear of God. You know, Romans said that's the problem with the society he was talking about. And it's the society we have today. There's no fear of God in their eyes. They people today don't fear God. They'll curse him. They'll curse Jesus. And I'm wondering how much Christians fear him. We ought to have reverence and respect, and we ought to live right. But he had a fear of God deep down. And he said, "We're indeed justly. We're getting what we deserve, exactly what we deserve." He said, I'm a thief, and I've committed a capital crime. I'm exactly where I should be. But he said, that man's done nothing. He's an innocent man. He recognized Jesus was the substitute for Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer and a thief, and he was supposed to be on that middle cross. But Jesus was taking his place, and he was innocent. This man recognized that. And so he looks to Jesus in verse 42 and said, "Jesus, Lord," called him Lord, "remember me when you come into your kingdom." The man got saved. Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." How close to eternity this man was. About to go to hell with no hope, but he believed on the one on Jesus on that middle cross. He said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He said, "Today," they were dying, "today you're going to be in paradise," which was in the heart of the earth. "You'll be in paradise with me this day." And that man got saved there on that cross at the last minute. Now, a lot of people can be. I wouldn't wait on it, but it's possible. And this man did. I think that thief, that unnamed thief, represents the worst of our society. There's people out here that are drug addicts and drunks and liars and thieves and murderers and doing all kinds of things. And they deserve punishment. There's no question. As far as the law's concerned, they deserve it. And we all deserve hell, but they can escape hell. They still can be saved. I remember a guy told me one time, said, "We need to get those so-and-so in our church. They're our kind of people." I thought, what kind of people are you looking for? Who's Jesus looking for? He came to seek and save any that's lost. Those people who are at the bottom, you might say, of society and the most rotten, they still need a Savior. And we don't know who will and who won't. And we need to give them that opportunity to be saved. But when you look at these three again, one's under a tree, one was on up a tree, and one's on a tree. That's why Jesus died on a tree. He died to save these men. In Galatians chapter number 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. It's a cursed place to be, but Jesus took our curse on him. When you go back to Deuteronomy 21, verses 20 through 23, it talks about if a son is rebellious and will not listen to his parents, they can take him out to the city of the gate and say, can't deal with him. He's rebellious, and they stone him to death. And that's the way they put people to death, was stone them to death. But they could be hung on a tree after they died. And it says that he can be hung on a tree till sundown, but you got to get him off the tree before sundown. But why hang him on a tree? That was not the mode of death for the Jews. It was stoning. But you hang him on a tree and let everybody look at him and say, this is what happens. It's a shame to show his shameful life and to show he deserved what he got and to hang him in shame. Well, Jesus didn't deserve what he got, but he hung on a tree on a cross in shame that all the sinners could be set free and be made right before God. And that's what he did for these three men. And we need to look at people that way. They all need a Savior. They need the gospel. They may or may not accept it. That's not up to us. That's up to them. I want us to stand together today, and I hope that as you go through the invitation, the song, that you'll think about people that's in some of these cases I mentioned today. You can be the witness like Philip, the one who goes to them. Let's be that kind of person. But if you're here today lost, I don't care where you are in that spectrum. You may be an honest, good person. You may be a crook. You may be a drunk. You may be the rotten. It doesn't matter. I just hope you see your need for a Savior and what God can do for you today if you'll believe on Jesus Christ. The Bible says first you need to understand you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to know there's a payday to sin. The wages of sin is death. And you need to know that Jesus paid for our sins. God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then you must believe that. The Bible says if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're lost this morning, that's what you need to do. Heavenly Father, it's up to you to convict hearts and convince them of their need of Christ. It's just up to us to tell it. And I pray today that things have been clear. And if there's one here lost, I pray they'd be saved. Lord, let them know that if they come to this altar, you will meet them here and some of our people will pray with them in Jesus' name. Amen.
My Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let
Lord speaks to your heart. You come to the altar. We'll help you. We'll pray with you.
There's nothing. Amen.